Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory in the lot as well, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department to back it up. Routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, as the quote underwear Olympics continue in Indianapolis, we turn now to a guy that always has his finger on the pulse, and that is Jody McDonald. Jody Mack, welcome back. It's great to have you with us, my friend.
Mr. Jones, been a minute. Glad to hop back on with you, bud.
Absolutely. I always feel there's a couple of stages to this. I always feel what you do in free agency then sets up what you do for the draft. When you look at the Eagles at this stage, what are a couple of things that you think they need to set up in free agency to then allow them to draft the way they need?
You have the exact right read on it. Free agency first, then the draft. But added to the Eagle mix this year is, are they going to have to replace Hassan Reddick? Because
yes.
A couple of weeks ago it came out that the Eagles granted permission for Reddick to seek a trade. At first it sounded to me like, oh, well, Reddick wants out. And he took to social media and said, listen, wasn't my idea. I didn't ask for a trade. So yeah. It was the Eagles trying to set the market by allowing him to check what the other teams in the league would be willing to pay him. With the cap going up as significantly as it did, I think Hassan Reddick's going to jump into the top 10 as far as payment for edge guys. And if the Eagles aren't going to be willing to get to 23 or 24 million prior, they're going to end up trading Hassan Reddick, and then you got to replace him. So are you just going to go get a free agent who's a lesser cost but also a lesser player? Are they going to go back to the defensive line with their first-round pick? Yeah, it's a domino effect. One thing affects the other, and I'm afraid that they played a Hassan Reddick card for the purpose of trying to negotiate, but it might come back to bite him in the butt. Because I am a big Hassan Reddick fan. I want to see him get that extension and stay. But as of right now, I would say it's 50-50 at best. And he's back with the Eagles.
And that was going to be my next question, was about Reddick anyway. So you jumped right on the train I was thinking to begin with. Because to me, Reddick, to me, is a domino effect on the other 10 players on that defense. I mean, what he does has a domino effect on the rest of that defense. And I don't think there's anybody else in that defense I can say it about.
If you ask me who was the best Eagle defensive player last year, my answer is Hassan Reddick.
Yep.
And you don't usually, well, you still have him under contract and a guy who's happy to be here. Sometimes guys are under contract, they're not happy, they want out. He had not started this process, just been a, hey, how woefully underpaid have I been the last 2 years as far as production and the first 2 years of the three-year, $45 million contract he signed. He wasn't looking to get out. He was just looking to be fairly compensated and gave the Eagles a chance by opening renegotiation talks. You would make the decision yourself to get rid of your best defensive player when your defense was the weakest part of your team last year? Doesn't seem to make sense. I know it's a capped world in which we live in the National Football League, and Howie Roseman is as good as any general manager in the game at working the cap. I would be very disappointed if he doesn't find a way to work the cap and keep us on Reddick for the next 2 to 3 years.
So Reddick hangs over this, but what positionally you feel the Eagles need to address in free agency besides Reddick, because a veteran might be a better option than a rookie?
Howie Roseman spoke at the Combine yesterday and said a couple interesting things. Not a whole hell of a lot, but and I didn't expect a whole hell of a lot. But one of the things that he did say is that James Bradbury is still part of the plan. Bradberry had as bad a year as he's ever had in the National Football League, coming off a phenomenal first year with the Eagles. He went backwards badly, and at age 30, you certainly have to be scared that, Father Time is catching up and he's just not the player he was anymore. I thought he was a potential cap casualty this year, but how he can change his mind, as my partner on Birds 365, John McMullen, likes to say, when these guys are doing these press conferences, they're not under oath. They are allowed to change their mind. They can think one thing one day and then think something completely different a week later. I think Bradberry is less than 50-50 to be back with the Eagles, which means they need another starting cornerback. The young guys they played there last year, Ringo and Ricks, were okay filling in when injuries cropped up, but neither one of them jumped off for me that, wow, there's a starter down the road for the next 5 years. So I would say, if you ask me what position I think their top pick will play in this year's upcoming draft at number 22, I think they're looking at a corner.
Yeah. Is running back something you go for in free agency, and how do you view DeAndre Swift?
I'm a Swift guy. Loved the trade before they made it. I hopped on social media when the Lions took a running back in the first round last year. I said, maybe DeAndre Swift should be available. The Eagles should look into it. Damn it if they didn't make a trade within the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm a Swift guy. Had a darn good year last year. He's a free agent, so they've got another Philadelphia guy you would think would want to stay, but they've got to convince him to stay and how they're going to use him, plus pay him what the going rate on the market is. I would say this is a player highly unlikely to be back. Not going to say 100% out the door, but unlikely. I think they will look for a less expensive than DeAndre Swift will cost this year alternative, if not look to get lucky in the draft. I don't think they'll use any of their top three picks. They've got a first and 2 seconds. But third round and any time thereafter, they could be looking for their next running back in the draft.
Right. Offensive line, I mean, I don't think Kelce has said what he's doing yet, but do you feel like the way they've built the offensive line, they picked the kid out of Nebraska who can play center and so forth, is that something where they feel comfortable, whether he, you know, they'd love to have him back, but if he's not back, they feel comfortable they can move parts?
And my guess would be we'll hear something in the next couple of days, week at most, because Jason Kelce isn't going to make the Eagles not know his desire for the upcoming season before the new year league year starts, which is March 11th. So we're going to get something the next 7 to 10 days. I kind of flopped on this one, Steve. I'd been saying all along I think he's coming back, and too much was made of him bro-hugging his teammates after the playoff loss in Tampa. I thought that he played well enough this year to want to come back and have, and that was a real bad taste in your mouth, that Tampa loss in the playoffs. I thought he'd want to give himself another shot, and I thought he was enjoying himself, rooting for his brother to take down another championship, and he might not want to give that competition and that feeling up. But he did a podcast with Chris Long in which he said, the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles, and the Eagles. He never said we once.
Yeah.
And if he still considers himself part of the team and a guy who's going to be back next year, I thought he would have at least worked one we in there, which he didn't. Add that to the 5, 6, 7 meetings he had with all the major sporting outlets about potentially making that transition to the announcer role when your playing days are over and done with. Yeah, I'm now on the side of chances are they're going to have to replace Jason Kelce for next season.
And I think Kelce, when he goes into this world, is going to be just fine. I think he's actually going to be a really good analyst. It's not as easy as maybe some people think it is, but I think he'll do well.
He's been a natural at it on his podcast. He did an Amazon appearance during one of their games last year and fit in like a glove. You and I see that the same. If he does it, he's going to do it very well. Yeah. He'll be good at that, just like he is at playing center in the National Football League, which will someday land him in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. And and I saw that Amazon with Kirk and Al, and he was terrific. How do you look at the combine? All these years of the combine, how do you look at it now?
Good question. The first word that comes to mind for me is lesser. It's lesser than what it used to be, and I think that's pretty damn evident by the fact that a whole bunch of teams don't even bother to send their general manager and their coach anymore, which I think of as stupid and lazy, but facts are facts. And the Rams did it first during COVID, and now other teams are following suit. They don't have to meet the media. They believe they can get all the information they want via videotape and through their scouts who do attend. I'm sorry, there's just nothing as good as being able to look a young man in the eyes when you're talking to him. When you get a short term, now they get 15 minutes apiece, that's about it. But you can pick up some information and a feeling about a player. I think it's foolish for those teams that don't attend, but if they, and they're ever increasing, 8 coaches, 6 general managers not in attendance, that tells me it just isn't what it used to be. And the star players, I mean the top of the first round, they don't participate. They come in, they let them poke and prod and do medicals on them, and then they get the hell out of Dodge. So at one time I thought it was great. Now I think it's still a necessity and something you can learn plenty from, but it's not what it used to be.
Well, for the players, they have to go because it's a job interview. I mean, pure and simple. Not everybody's at the top of the draft, so where do I fall into place? But I always love when people go through the 40 times over and over again. Okay, that's fine. Jerry Rice ran a 4.71 and Larry Fitzgerald ran a 4.63. I don't recall either one being caught in the field. Do you?
No. And Tom Brady ran one of the most embarrassing 40 times at the combine ever, and it didn't keep him from becoming the greatest quarterback of all time. So, yes, sometimes the data that's mined out of the combine can be tremendously overstated. You like to have it just as a point of reference.
Sure.
But
right.
If you're making major decisions because of it, you're not running your football team the way you should be.
Exactly, because there's still, I mean, I want all the data because I just want everything so I have it. But I also have to have the ability, if I'm going to be a general manager, and Howie's like this, okay, what kind of football player is he? I need football players. Right? And to me, that's sometimes if you're so data-driven, I think, that's only my opinion, I think you miss that part if you don't have a read on somebody who's an actual player that knows how to play the game.
The best organizations in the National Football League right now are those that can mesh old school with new school, which is analytics and data-driven. For those who say, I can see everything with my naked eye, so you're going to pass over good information that's available to you? Foolish.
That's right.
And if you think that all you got to do is crunch numbers and you can find a great player and a good football team without being there and watching a guy play in as he's playing live, that's ridiculous as well. The best of them meld those two worlds together.
How do you? I do have to ask you. How do you feel about games are week to week to week to week? Do you enjoy the off season at all in terms of how all this stuff plays out, or are you somebody who sits there and I can't wait till the games start up again?
Sure. Seeing as my father was the general manager of 3 major league baseball teams, the Cardinals and the Tigers.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm an amateur GM. I'm second guessing. I'm looking over Howie Roseman and every other general manager's shoulder every day. That's what we do as fans. Of course, we love the off season.
I knew I was going to get that answer because of your dad. I knew it. That's why I asked it. That's why I asked it. Hey, you're the best. Thanks so much for your time. You're always so generous, and the analysis is always spot on. Thanks so much.
Steve, my pleasure. Make sure you grab me back before the draft happens, and we'll see if we can figure this out before the Eagles get on the clock.
You got it, my friend. Thank you.
You got it, bud.
Jody McDonald, Jody Mac. We have fun with this. Man, do we get great guests on this show. His dad, that's why I asked the question deliberately, because of his dad. But he's off season. Yeah, this is where the wheeling and dealing. This is where the construction happens. This is like, I love it. All right, we'll take a break. Come back in a moment. Great to have you with us today. By the way, the king today. I hope you got some trivia questions ready, Todd. Hey, we're going to have some fun, do a little trivia today. All right. So if you can get, like, in your mind, 3 trivia questions together, that'll be fun.
All right. I can try.
Okay. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. King coming up in the next half hour. Have a little fun. We'll do some trivia here. We like doing trivia in the offseason with him after all the great picks. We'll assume the suit's in the building today.
I assume as well, though I have not seen physical evidence of it.
Well, if you can't hear him, he's not there.
We are in different corners.
If you can't hear him, he's not there.
Good point.
I'm here. I'm in the belly. I was like, oh, jeez. You're out on the golf course. He can be 12 holes over. You can hear him. Oh, boy. All right. We were talking a lot about the 14-team proposal. Three automatic bids, Big Ten. Three automatic bids, SEC. Two Big 12, two ACC, the one for the group of five, then three at-large bids, of which Notre Dame would be eligible for one of those. And so we'll see. If it ever goes to 16, I'm telling you, it's going to go 4-4-2-2-1. And those spots are going to go to a Big Ten or an SEC program. Look, the strength of schedule means something. As Tony pointed out, and this to me is an important element. If I am sitting there and I am crafting a schedule, and I am, let's just take, just Lance Leipold just got a huge contract with Kansas, right? So let's just take them. Say they're in the running. They're not the league leader, but they're the second best team in the Big 12 with a week to play. And they end up finishing second. See, I think what these proposals will do, by the way, if they go to 16, you know what I think is going to happen, Todd? I think the conference championship games will go away. If you're doing automatic bids, right, automatic bids, and say that, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten have four each, what the heck do you need a conference championship game for?
I don't understand why they'd be. I guess that's how you determine your automatic qualifier right now. But I don't understand right. with the playoff why they're playing the conference championship
right.
games.
Yeah, if with 12 winning your conference championship game, if you win the SEC or the Big Ten title game, even the ACC or the Big 12, you're going to get the bye. Right, so that's the purpose of that, besides the trophy. But if you go to 16 and you have in the SEC four automatic qualifiers and four automatic qualifiers from the Big Ten, you don't need a championship game. Why bother playing an extra game? Hey, plus by expanding, there's a chance you're going to get more money anyway. I mean, I know what ESPN's talking about, but they may farm out some of it. I mean, 16 becomes a little problematic. In terms of TV schedule, because right now each one has their own individual spot. Friday night the 20th, one game. Triple header on the 21st of December. Good, you're all set. Okay, December 31st. Okay, one game. Triple header on New Year's Day, and then on Thursday the 9th, you'll have a college football semifinal. Friday the 10th, the college football semifinal, and the title game on the 20th. Hey, right now, as a single network entity, you can handle all that. But if it goes to 14, now are you stretching resources to handle it? And at 16, you're really stretching resources to handle it. I mean, that's how I view it.
You know, I think we talked a little bit before that, you know, they could probably play that Thursday, you go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I don't know how you fit all. I don't know how you do a more than two games on Thursday and Friday. And even if you'd want to do two games on a Thursday and Friday,
right? And no question. I mean, that's where it goes. Now, to me, FCS is 24, right?
Yeah, because I think there's buys in the into the second round.
Right. There is no way I can ever picture myself sitting on this show saying this year you're more than 16. No way. Now remember, 2 years ago in this show and 6 months before it came out, I talked about a 12-team playoff. I have nothing, zero, to do with anybody stealing the idea, because they didn't. But it was just something I was thinking about and randomly thought that might be a way to go. And it turned out my random thoughts met their random thoughts. But after 16, I can't picture it.
Well, with the bigger conferences, I don't think there's enough teams after 16.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Suits like that waiter in a restaurant that's running around all over the place, and then everybody realizes after an hour nobody got any food. No? Bad?
That sounds about right.
You people are awful. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up. Routine difficult every step of the way, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The king is not with us yet.
I do have the king now, sir.
Well done. Gang, what's going on?
What up?
Everything going all right?
What state you in?
I'm in Pennsylvania now. I'll be in Minnesota tomorrow.
Wow, that is so cool.
And then next week, I was in Iowa Tuesday night. And next week, I'm here the entire week. So the new rights holder for Penn State, Playfly, which will be our rights holder for the radio network, says, hey, we ought to meet next week. I'm like, okay. Sure.
Did you meet Caitlin Clark?
No. Yeah, we're all by the spot where she threw up the shot. 33 feet, by the way.
And she's good.
No, she's a really good player. Really, really good.
Yep. Her and Paige Beckers are like best friends. So.
Yeah.
They played together for years. But, you know, it's funny. Paige Beckers staying at UConn. She's not coming out. They don't have to come out now. They're making just as much money in school as they would if they turned pro.
Well, you know,
so why would they leave, you know, where they're comfortable and happy, you know?
Well, the NFL... You want to know how many early entries there were for the NFL draft this year? 58, the lowest in years.
Yeah. They don't have to. USC's quarterback said he contemplated staying. Because he was making so much money there. What was the big deal? You know, it wasn't about money now, leaving college. So.
No, his Caleb Williams' NIL deal was outstanding.
Yeah.
At USC. Right? Now you got to go from
Beckers,
USC.
It's huge.
Yeah.
She makes over $1 million a year. What? You know, you're freaking 20 years old. That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's not bad. That works.
Yeah.
that works. I'm into it. That should be great. yeah. I mean, we're talking about. I mean, there's more money than ever coming into it. I mean, they're talking now, already thinking about a 12-team playoff going to a 14-team playoff.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Is it good?
I don't think so.
I think the max out number to me is probably 16. If you go any higher than that ever, then I think you have a big problem in the sport.
Well, how many teams make the NFL playoffs?
14.
Okay. 14 I would out cap it out 32. At that.
Yeah.
You know, only because after that, if you're not in the top 14, you don't. You're not going to win. You know what I mean? You could get lucky, I guess, but in college, it's different. I don't.
Yeah. Well,
I just think you got to be at least in the top 14. The NFL is telling you we take the top 14 teams, and college should do the same thing and just leave it at that. You know?
Yeah. Well, if they go 14, and again, here's the difficult. It's a difficult time of the year for the first round because you do have to work around finals. I mean, you still have to stay eligible. It's really weird. They still have rules.
Yeah, I know. I'm just laughing. It's like, oh yeah, they go to school. That's
yeah,
right.
I mean, they still have to go to class, right? You know that, right, Todd?
I guess.
You guess? What do you mean you guess?
I took camping and canoeing and all kinds of really cool classes. That gets your cum right up. So.
Well, I remember.
They're getting paid to stay, to have a reason to do good in school, too. So.
Well, in the end,
yeah.
You do need, these players do have to understand that only 3% top out make the NFL. The other 97% don't. Getting your degree is actually a smart thing to do.
Was talking about that. The NCAA president now, the new one, the former governor of Massachusetts.
Yeah, Charlie Baker. Yeah,
yeah, he said this can ruin sport. Because he gave pretty much the number you just gave, and it was like 97%. They don't get anything, you know.
Right.
People are talking about college athletes like that they're employees of the college now, and he said that's just not the case. So,
well, there's going to be somebody out there with the National Labor Relations Board
yep.
that is going to go out there, and they're going to say they are. And you're already seeing that in the Dartmouth case where they're saying, hey, they vote to go to to unionize, you guys are going to have to do it.
I heard that too. College athletes are going to have their own union. Give me a break.
Well,
no, that's one way to destroy the sport is unionize it. And they're really good at destroying things. So.
Well, there's another part to it too. I mean, do you know what Dartmouth averages for men's basketball per game at home?
200 people.
You're actually too low.
That's low?
Yeah.
1,000.
Too high.
Okay, let me zero in. 600.
Getting warmer. 644.
Wow. I mean, that doesn't even pay for to turn the overhead of the building for a day.
Of course not. It doesn't even pay for the bulbs, let alone turning them on.
Right.
It doesn't even pay for the light bulbs.
Have one bulb.
But what I guess their argument was that if you were a
old
student.
Old uniforms.
Yeah. They say if you're a student working in the dining halls.
Yeah.
That the dining halls don't make money. So since they don't make money, it's okay not to make money in men's basketball. Like, okay.
Okay, and how much does it cost to go to the school?
Oh, well.
Yeah, they'll cry poverty, all right. Like,
No, I'd like to know what
80
is Dartmouth.
$80,000 a year?
Okay. It's not just how much it costs to go to school. It's also how large is the Dartmouth Economic Endowment?
Oh,
Because we know the Harvard economic endowment is $40 billion.
Yeah, for sure. They don't need money ever. They're fine.
Yeah.
You know? And then they tried to get pandemic money.
Yeah.
You're like, seriously?
Yeah.
They tried to get PPP money, you know, payroll protection.
Okay. Like, okay. Average, here it is.
Maybe
Dartmouth.
You don't qualify.
Dartmouth. Here's Dartmouth. Okay? Average cost before aid, $83,802.
Jesus.
$62,658 is tuition. $21,144 is for books, room, and board. That must be some room.
Jeez. Big book. You know,
wow.
That's insane.
Now,
not
you can,
worth it. I don't,
now,
you know.
Now you
what's
can
your
get
major?
Aid.
Psychology. Okay. What's your job going to be? I don't know.
Okay, I'm a humanities major. Really?
Okay. Western civilization major.
It's great.
I'd be like that. If you're not going to be a nurse or a physical therapist or an accountant, don't bother going, man. That's just...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, so the cost, they say the average cost after aid, if you can qualify, is $33,000.
Who pays the aid?
Benefactors.
Taxes?
Tuition, yeah. They said net price by family was $33,000 in 2020 and 2021.
So we as taxpayers are paying $50,000 per student a year to go to college.
No, they're private. They're private school.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They're private school, so this is not
one of those...
I
thought you said taxes paid for the...
No.
Oh.
This is after net price for federal loan recipients.
Oh, okay. Well, federal loans is still taxpayer money, so...
Yeah.
The college is getting $83,000 for that.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. Somebody's paying for it, so...
Absolutely.
So. Welcome to America.
Okay, hey, let's do some trivia next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Here we go. You want to know what it's like being a Philadelphia fan? Guess what the Phillies just did? They just scrapped Dollar Dog Night. Why? Because of unruly fan behavior. It's the only city in America that can't bring Santa Claus to a football game and can't have Dollar Dog Night. Okay? Oh, yeah. I can't wait to sign a free agent contract there. Golly. How about that? They just, because of unruly fan behavior, no more Dollar Dog Night. Because they're throwing at each other and throwing them on the field.
No more what? Dolly Parton?
Dollar Dog Night.
Oh,
Dollar Hot Dogs.
Dollar. I said Dolly Parton.
No Dollar Dog Night and no Santa Claus at Eagles games. Other than that, it's a great place to go. Okay. So, trivia question. Here we go.
All right, got one.
When the Phillies
and there's
won the
a few of them.
Okay.
But name three Hall of Fame NHL players who were the best at their positions who were never captain of their team.
Well, Bobby Orr is one.
Yep.
There's
Bobby a few.
Bobby Hull.
I'm not sure about him. He's not on my list.
Okay. I don't think Gordie Howe was ever a captain.
He's not on the list that I have.
No. Oh, okay. Well, maybe. He wasn't captain with Detroit.
I got Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, Guy Lafleur. Yep.
Brian Trottier.
Yep.
Frank Mihaljevic. I mean, it's not fair with the Canadians because they were all in the Hall of Fame, but only one could be captain.
Because, right, because Jean Béliveau was the captain forever. Henri Richard was the captain forever. I mean, every goalie, none of the goalies are captains ever.
Right.
So you can name any goalie you want.
The one that got me was Bobby Orr. I just never thought of it. Yeah. And it dawned on me, who was the captain of
Johnny Busick.
Johnny Busick. And then Esposito was an alternate. Was an alternate. But he never wore a C. And that just kind of got me. I was like, wow, because he was a leader of the team, you know.
Yeah.
When
the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, who was the World Series MVP? Hello?
I feel like it's not Utley or Rollins, or it wouldn't be a trivia question.
I think it was a center fielder there, the hothead. What's his name? He ended up owning...
Lenny Dykstra?
Yeah, Dykstra.
Yeah.
Is it Aaron Rowan?
Cole Hamels.
Oh.
Cole Hamel. Oh, my
God. The pitcher.
God.
The pitcher. Yep.
It wasn't long ago he retired.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. He was good. Good question. Well,
I thought that question was a layup.
What? Yeah, Connecticut talks about it all the time. Yeah. Lunchtime. Hear about Cole Hamill? Hell yeah. Does he smoke? No.
Yeah.
You got one, Todd?
Yes. Which two World Series MVPs were not on their teams to start the season?
Which two World Series MVPs were not on their team?
What a good question.
When they started the season. Let's see. That's a really, really good one. I will say Pierce with the Red Sox.
Good. That's one.
In 2018. And the other one? Let's see. Can't be a Yankee. They don't go to the World Series anymore. just kidding. Is it? Well, the most recent one, right? Texas Rangers?
Oh, I didn't even think of the Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Dave Parker.
Dave Parker. No. Not Dave Parker. No, so I'll just stall at Pierce.
It is Don Clendenin from the Amazing Mets.
Ah,
wow.
Don Clendenin. He had three home runs in the 69 World Series against the Orioles. Wore number 22. played for the Pirates. Yep.
It's like hitting Google. Steve Google.
Don Clendenin.
Good question.
Yeah.
What is the national sport of Canada?
Lacrosse.
I was going to
ding, ding, ding.
I was going to go with curling, but that's...
It's lacrosse.
It is. Correct.
Everybody thinks it's hockey. Who was the first ever play-by-play announcer for ABC's Monday Night Football?
Chris Shank.
Oh, I know this.
He only did it for 1 year.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God, because I saw it on TV. I said, oh, my God, he was the first. You know. Kurt Schenkel?
Well, you both said Chris Schenkel. It's actually, ladies and gentlemen, Keith Jackson.
Oh.
Who?
Keith Jackson. Keith Jackson.
Oh, Keith Jackson. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Dartmouth, you pay $83,000 the first year, $86,000 the second, $89,000 the third, and $93,000 the fourth. The more you stay, the more you pay.
I got a granddaughter going to New England, University of New England, or New England College. It's in, like, Old Orchard Beach, Maine. It's fucking $65,000 a year.
She's at the beach.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why. But Mitchell College, where I went, was $6,000 a year when I went. It's now $50,000 a year. It's three dormitories on the Thames River.
Well, no, what's great is that Pitt wants to schedule them in football.
Oh, have a safe trip.
Thanks, appreciate it.